Well, I love that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, if you would please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I'll do a little break from our James study. I really was overwhelmed today, or this week, particularly with the idea of communion and looking at it from what it means. And so this message will have a little more instruction in it than perhaps preaching, but I think it's really, really important. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, as Paul is writing to this church, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." If you don't think this is a serious passage, you should be sobered about now. Paul is drawing some of the sharpest pronouncements of judgment for people who take the Lord's Supper lightly. Verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Many are dead. Many. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye may come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come." Paul harkens back to the night in which the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. This authoritative decree was given to Christians in order, really, for three things, as one author put it. It's to remember to look backward at Christ, what Christ did for us at Calvary. We're to continue to look back there at the cross and say, "I'm not going to forget what Jesus Christ did." It's to remember to look forward to the return of Christ at His coming. "Do this until I come again." So we're to look forward to that. And then it's to remember to look inward and examine your own conscience. We'll see in just a few moments the background of the institution of this happened at the Last Supper. Sometimes what's lost in that Last Supper is the fact that it was a Passover meal for the disciples. Jesus finishes the Passover meal, and then he uses some items that were on the table, bread and the grape juice or the wine. He uses those items to then institute a new covenant that represented the New Testament or the new covenant that he was going to have come into being. The disciples, of course, didn't make all these connections yet, but they're going to. One author said it this way, "Nevertheless, the bread and wine already on the table and used in connection with the Passover were now used for an entirely new purpose. Thus the Lord put behind him the Passover and all that it represented. Within hours, he, the true Passover lamb, would be slain and the Old Testament type would be fulfilled." Well, what breaks this communion? Well, I believe what breaks the communion is the marriage supper of the Lamb that we're going to take place in just a little bit. So surrounding this incident that's this morning, Jesus finished the Passover and was saying, "I want to tell you, man, I am the great Passover Lamb. There's no longer a need to point to Calvary because tonight and tomorrow it's going to happen. And then we're going to do this until he comes. And once he comes, we're going to celebrate anew with him in the new kingdom." What a wonderful privilege that is going to be. But in the meantime, we take time periodically to stop and remember these things. And this morning, I want us to just see this central thought. We must never forget what he did for us, what he will do for us, and how that should impact our daily lives. What he did do, what he will do, and the impact it has in our daily lives. Lord Jesus, we've already indeed praised you this morning, and rightfully so. We pray that as we preach your word, that it too would lift high you. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. First, I would like to look at the precedent. The precedent. In verse 23, Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now, I want to take some time this morning to read those stories because I think they're really important. So turn with me. We'll start in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter number 26. And remember the setting. Don't miss this. The disciples are celebrating the Passover. Jesus has just dismissed the betrayal. Judas, go do what you need to do. The disciples still hadn't connected everything. He had given them multiple warnings. Peter specifically had been told, "No, Peter, tonight you're going to deny me three times." And Peter missed that. We know that they missed it because within this story, that we're not dealing with that this morning, the disciples are arguing who's the greatest. Who's going to be the greatest? And so Jesus eventually, in this same setting, picks up a towel and begins to wash their feet, giving them a vivid picture of who's the greatest, the servant. "If I then, your Lord and Master, can wash your feet, ye are also to wash one another's feet." You've missed it, disciples. You've missed the whole thing. But in the midst of this, in verse 26 of chapter number 26, the Bible says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." By the way, this hymn was probably Psalms 118. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter number 14. Most of these are very, very similar. Mark 14 and verse 22. Mark 14 and verse 22. "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, 'This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it anew in the kingdom of God.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Now Luke in verse 20, chapter 22. Luke 22. Luke 22 and verse 15. "And he said unto them, 'With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" So again, giving them inclination, this is it, I'm fixing to go to my suffering. "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.' And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you.'" Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So, in this text, Jesus opens up before them the brand new covenant that he is about to institute through the shedding of his blood on the cross of Calvary. And he says to them, there's no longer a need for the Passover meal, but we're going to take the bread and the cup, the wine or the grape juice, the fruit of the vine, as one author calls it, and you're to do this until we are together again in the new kingdom. and gave them a new observance for a new covenant, and it had a purpose behind it. So the precedent. But number two, let's look at the purpose. Verses 24 and 26, and then verse 31. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And he used that term in the other passages multiple times. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." But notice what it says in verse 26. "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Verse 31. "For if you would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home." So in other words, this is not about satisfying a physical need. He said that happens somewhere else. There are some who believe that coupled with the Lord's Supper was an agape feast or a love feast, and the church would come together like we would call a dinner on the grounds, coupled with the Lord's Supper. Some believe it's all the same, but that doesn't really impact what we're going to talk about this morning. But he certainly says to them, this is not about fulfilling a physical expectation. This is about remembrance. And so I think we see two things in this passage of Scripture that help us. Number one, the purpose is to report. In other words, it's to show, to proclaim publicly, or to make a solemn announcement or declaration. And what does it show? Well, you do show the Lord's death till he come. In other words, this time this morning, part of its purpose is to simply preach the gospel. In and of itself, it preaches the gospel. Robertson says the Lord's Supper is the great preacher of the death of Christ till his second coming. This is one of many ways that the believers would identify with Christ and his suffering, as well as preach the gospel to those around them. And you remember, for us, we don't really think about this, but for many of those New Testament believers, to be involved in a ceremony like this meant that they possibly could die. They were identifying with our Lord. I've mentioned a book that I read back at missions conference time about persecution. This man was in Somalia for years trying to contact Christians, trying to be a gospel witness. And finally, they were able to meet four Somali believers, and they were able to come together with some other American workers there. They had a service. They actually celebrated communion together. And within a week, all four of those Somali Christians paid with their lives. That happens continuously. So this preaching of the gospel wasn't just a flippant thing. This was a serious occasion for them. But not only was it to report, but it was to remember. To remember. The word remembrance means to call to remembrance or a recollection. Now, some of us, the older we get, the harder it is to remember things, right? But someone may say, "You remember when such, oh yeah, I had forgotten about that. Yeah, I remember that," you know. Part of what we do this morning is to simply to draw our attention back to the cross. Because the truth is, it can be complacent to us. It can get to a point where we've heard about the cross so much that we no longer take it very serious. The Lord gives some very stern warnings about that. Don't approach the communion table. Don't approach it with a flippant attitude that it means nothing, because that's caused many of you to be weak and sickly, and some of you are dead because of it. It's a very serious thing. It's interesting, our Lord used the word remembrance many times in the Word of God, but one of the first times that God uses the word remember is in relation to a covenant. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 15, "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living thing of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." In other words, God said, "I made a covenant with you that no longer would I use a flood over the entire world to destroy, and I'm going to remember my covenant with you." Moses tells the people of Israel to remember the Passover. Again, which is what remembrance is replacing. This feast, if you will, this Lord's Supper is replacing that Passover. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3, Moses said unto the people, "Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength the hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. The blood on the doorpost, the top and the side, and if you were under the blood, then the death angel passed over you. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That message was being preached in the Passover. Jesus was the great Passover Lamb. Enter Jerusalem, saying, I am the Lamb of God, on Hosanna Day, Palm Sunday, so that they could detail inspect him. Is he a perfect lamb? Is he without blemish? He indeed was, so that he offered himself as the great Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. So really, two purposes there, both to preach the gospel, to report about that, and to remember. Is your life preaching the gospel daily? It's what it's supposed to be. As you partake of this communion, do you think of what your Lord did for you and what he did for me? Now let's look at number three, the procedure. We've already read verses 24 and 25 a couple of times. The Lord's Supper was a time not for self-indulgence, but for mutual edification. And I think we see three specific things here that I'd like for us to talk about as we look through this. Number one, we see the symbolism. The symbolism. He uses the breaking aspect. It's used in the New Testament of the breaking of bread or communion. It symbolized our Lord's body being broken for us, broken and bruised. This testament, the compact or a covenant that Jesus was making. One author said the word covenant or testament referred to a relationship in which one party established terms which the other party accepted or rejected. It was terms that Jesus was put in. The terms are, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's Jesus' terms. You can accept or reject that. The choice is yours, but the consequences are also be yours. There's no other way. No other way. And we see the symbolism, but we also see the summons. The summons. This is very interesting. I've heard some people say, well, because I don't really know if I have sin in my life and I sure don't want the judgment of God, then I just won't take communion. Do you know four times in this passage of Scripture it's commanded? I want you to notice the words. Take, eat, and do in verse 24. Take, eat, and do in verse 24 are all commands. God's commanding you to do it. And verse 25, do ye. A command. Well, four times in two verses, God commands you to do this. So by not participating, you're sinning. You're disobeying what God has told us to do. The summons. He says, I want you to do it. Let's look, number three, at the structure. The structure. He gives us some things very clearly in this passage of Scripture. He gives us the bread, which represents his body, and he tells us that. This is my body, which is broken for you. He gives us the cup, which represents his blood. And this seals that new covenant. Because again, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And we are to do it until he comes. But it doesn't say how often. Doesn't tell us that we're to do it every week, or every day, or every month, or every fifth Sunday, or every Christmas, or every Palm Sunday. It doesn't tell us any of that. It just says that we're to keep doing it. So, some of those things we get to make decisions about what we do. It doesn't tell us when. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Easter, Christmas. It doesn't tell us that. It doesn't tell us who are to serve. We at Emmanuel primarily use our deacons, but that's not always the case either. It doesn't give us that. It has to be anyone. It doesn't tell us who can't partake necessarily, other than the fact that those who are saved and members in good standing is what we say of like faith. Some churches have what's called open communion. Anybody can partake of it. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what, you can partake of it. Some churches have what's called closed communion, meaning you must be a member of this church and this church only if you're going to take communion. And then there are those who believe in what's called a close communion. That is, we believe that if you're a member in good standing of like churches, then you can partake of the elements, assuming that you've judged yourself. That's the position of Emmanuel Baptist Church. You say, well, what about a guy who closes it and doesn't allow it to anybody but his members? The truth is, the Bible doesn't address that subject. There's some latitude about how we are to do that. So some things the Lord left open for us. It's my contention that Paul had an opinion on those things, because he says to them at the end of verse 34, in the very last part of the chapter, he says, and the rest will I set in order when I come. In other words, I think Paul had some specific things he wanted done, but obviously the Holy Spirit didn't believe it was important enough to preserve in his word. And so he leaves some of those things up to us, the procedure. But let's look at number four, and probably the thing that should most get our attention this morning, if you will, and that is the pondering, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The word examine, once again, is a command. God's commanding you to do so. And it means to deem worthy or to scrutinize. Now this morning, if we were to examine ourselves based simply upon our own merits, there would really been no point in Brother Stan Joyner setting this up today. Because there's not a person in this room based upon our own merits that deserve to take of this communion. But that's not really what he's saying here. What he's saying is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you come in a relationship? You can't remember something that's never happened to you. And is there anything in your life that needs to change? Is there known sin that's there that we need to examine and scrutinize and figure out, okay, is this what's supposed to be taken care of? Lord, as I come to this serious time, I don't want to come with sin in my life. And people had approached the table very flippantly. It was not a big deal to them. They can just go and do whatever they want, live their life ever how they want. If you remember the larger context of the book of 1 Corinthians, they were a pretty rough church. And Paul said, can I tell you why you got so much sickness in your church? Can I tell you why you've got a lot of deaths in your church? This is it. This is it. I would think that Paul got some people's attention. He didn't say some are dying, some are sleeping. He said many sleep. Many sleep. And then he says not only examine, but he says examine himself. He doesn't say examine your neighbor. He doesn't say the pastor examine and determine who's worthy. He doesn't say the deacons examine and determine who's worthy. So I'm not going to pass it down that aisle because I don't think anybody on that aisle is worthy of it. That's not their job. He says that we're to examine ourselves. Now, I don't know about you. That's a full-time job. That's a full-time job to deal with me, to deal with the pride that loves to creep up into my heart, to deal with the motives that are there and the attitudes and, I mean, just all kinds of things. And about the time you got it all taken care of, you want to pat yourself on the back, right? And the pride comes back scoring in our lives again. It's a full-time job to scrutinize and say, Lord, as far as I know, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Have you examined yourself? Will you examine yourself to see if there's anything between you and your Savior this morning? Quick, we'll look at the penalty. Again, Paul uses some really strong words. In verses 27 through 30, he uses the word guilty. If you drink this and you eat this unworthily, you shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. The word guilty means subject to liable, worthy of punishment. Powerful. Unworthily is in an unworthy manner. Its root word is unfit for a thing. You're unfit to take of this table. The word damnation means a decree or a judgment. Pretty strong words for Paul. The word weak is the infirmed. Matter of fact, six times in the New Testament it's translated sick. The word sickly is without strength or weak or sick. The word sleep means die, many of them. The word chastened, to chasten by evils and calamities, by blows, to scourge. You think Paul was trying to send a pretty clear message about how serious this is? It's incredibly serious. A sickness, death, and other things related to a carelessness about this time, it is. And how serious are you about examining yourself? Well, I don't know. I'm just not going to partake. Well, then that's sin too. Don't forget that. He doesn't say, well, just skip it. He says, no. Examine yourselves. And it's not an option to not partake. That too is sin. The option is to get right and enjoy the sweet fellowship with Him. Will you do that today? Just to say, Lord, thank you for Calvary. As I look back on that cross, I needed it. I needed it. I was guilty of the body and blood of Jesus. My sin nailed Him to the cross. This morning, as we just take some time to quietly reflect on what He did on Calvary and our own lives, will you examine yourself? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you just take a few minutes to examine yourself and say, God, this is where I'm at. Just in the quietness of the moment. Dale is going to come and just play quietly. And then in just a few moments, we'll do some other things and then we'll be ready for the communion. Would you just take that moment, please?